afternoon and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Ashwini.
Here's our assignment. As you read over how suffering happens for you, can you get a sense of the karma behind this issue? What beliefs, assumptions, projections, behavior do you consistently choose that result in? Example.
Ashwini, yes? You're going in and out for me.
Let me try this.
Yeah, for example, if you start with for example, maybe.
For example, the karma is choosing to do what will keep the voices at bay instead of choosing what will bring me long-term well-being. RL, what you see.
Uh-huh. Oh, that was better.
Is that better?
That was good. Okay. Yeah, that was good. Thank you.
All right. Here we go. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Dana from Fairbanks, Alaska.
Well, hello, Dana.
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's great to have a chance to be on.
Good to hear from you.
Thanks. This is really it's such a surprisingly deep issue for me. I'm looking at movement and how, like, at a certain point in my life, I just craved moving slowly and how much I just crave being in my body. And I'm seeing how difficult it is, or just I should say how easy it is to fall into the trap of working efficiently and being organized and needing to be very good at my job. And I learned that at a very early age because I was good at being organized and efficient, and I got a lot of praise for it, and I could outshine other people, and, you know, this was such a big part of the personality that I'm surprised at how deeply it's still down there after all these years of practice.
Because it sounds as if in order to be all of those things that you have gotten praise for, you have to be in your head. You can't be that way while being in your body.
Yes. And so it turns into this idea that being responsible is more important than being centered and in my body.
Mm-hmm. And that you can't be centered and in your body and be responsible.
Right.
Those are two separate things.
Right.
Of course, they're not.
It's a duality, right, that ego has put up for me. And so, but what I discovered as I went further with it is that there's a belief that I can't be hurt if I'm in my body, I can be hurt if I'm in my body.
And you're safe in your head.
This. Yeah, as long as I'm in my head, that's a safe place. So obviously not, right?
But it's safe for ego.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's who is laying this out for us. So ego says, oh, well, it's, you know, you can't be in your body because that's really dangerous for you. And the real message is, well, don't be in your body because that's really dangerous for me, ego. So be in your head because that will keep you safe. But it's really that will keep me safe.
Yeah, and then it gets even worse because when I have been in my body and I have been myself, I've been told that I was sick because I was acting what was diagnosed as bipolar. And so it was like it upped the stakes even more for you got to stay responsible, you have to stay in the head because as long as you do that, people won't tell you there's something wrong with you. And also, there won't be anything wrong with you.
Yeah. And so now I'm projecting what you're doing is pushing back on those limits, right?
Yeah.
Is that so? school of Zen, really?
Right.
Because
yeah.
it sounds like maybe a couple of things got put together that don't really go together. So let's just begin to find out here. What if I'm in my body this much and still responsible? Can I be in my body this much? Can I be this centered and still be responsible?
Yes. But, and so what I'm not sure if I can be, because it depends on who's defining responsible, right? Because the job force, the system, I work at a university, a state school, the system is so unhealthy and sick that I'm supposed to function in, that I may have to actually not be responsible in that system in order to be in my body. And that's the big step.
Yeah, maybe so. But I'm going to suggest that one can be absolutely present in any circumstances.
Yes.
Right? It's trying to balance that in ego land that gets tricky. That's when things become either or, and you have to this and you that, and that person is that way and they're like that, and you need to be, all of that gets very complex and confusing. But from center, things are actually quite simple.
Right.
All right.
Got
well,
it.
Away you go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice talking to you.
And you. Go happy.
Sherry, can you still hear me?
Yes, you sound good. You were just doing that going in and out thing when you were giving the assignment.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a metaphor for how things are, right? Well,
we go in and out.
Yes. Well, the thing that was fascinating to me about that conversation is what you were pointing to at the end, where we can be present in all circumstances. The difficulty is if we're trying to balance it in conditioning. Because I project what that duality of being responsible and being in the body are only impossible together in the conditioned world, not in presence.
Yes.
But we have to have an experience of that. And I think that if we refer to the conditioned system to evaluate whether we're doing well or not, then it sort of defeats the purpose of being here,
mm-hmm.
where that isn't an issue, right? And I think you often point to the attention getting here and having an experience, and instead of staying with the experience as a way of validating the experience, there's the movement to check with that conditioned process as to whether or not I'm having the experience.
Right,
and the
conditioned process is going to say, no, you are absolutely not. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And it's so comforting to hear you say what you just said, that no matter how sick the system is that I am operating in, I can absolutely be present. Because I think what you're pointing to is, really, we're always either here or attending to a sick system, whether it's external or internal. Right,
in my sick system or an external one. That is such a good point.
Yeah, an externalization of the sick system that exists inside all of us, right? That's what the sick system outside is. And so the ability to really develop the faith of presence in presence,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to whether or not I can be present in a sick system, that really is a setup for being in conditioning rather than being here.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Exactly so.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Hello, this is Liesl from New Hampshire.
Well, hello, Liesl.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
I'm excited that I finally got through the resistance of conditioning to listen in the middle of my workday and put myself in the queue, and I'm really
congratulations.
Happy. I know. So So what I'm seeing about fitness for me was sort of this first, this really interesting duality that I don't think I had seen before, which is in order for a workout or being fit to count, you have to work really hard and you have to feel it. Like you should be feeling like you're doing something really difficult. But then there's this other side that says if you push too hard, you're going to get hurt and injured and sore, and there's going to be this whole sequelae of awful things that are going to happen. So it's no wonder why I'm not working out much these days.
Right. Yeah, because that's a perfect two bad choices, huh?
Oh, yeah. Super bad.
That's a perfect example. Yeah. And so
right.
What is our choice? Well, I'm going to avoid this whole thing. And then, of course, the bad choice that goes with that is I feel bad because I should be working out and I'm not working out. And so it's just, it's like all of the exits are marked closed. Right.
Right.
You're just down this tunnel with no way to get out of it.
Right. And so what I saw then in terms of this karma or underlying belief is something that, again, I thought I had let go of or seen through. Like I'm getting that this is like a trick of ego, like, oh, you get this, so you don't have to look at this anymore, which is like, ego keeps me safe. Like I have to look to ego to give me information about how I work out because that's how I'm going to stay safe. And, of course, that's baloney, but obviously I've been doing that.
Right. Well, yes. We fall for a lot of baloney. Seeing it, right?
And until we don't.
Until we don't. And that one that you brought up, which is, I get that. Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
I there's no reason to explore that. Yeah, I know that. Uh-huh. Yeah,
right.
I know that.
Yeah.
And that should be such, I mean, flares going off, right?
That, yes,
everything you're looking for is hidden behind that, yeah, I know that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so this leaves you in this very exciting place, I project.
Right.
Presence. Okay, well, I'm going to now find out.
Right. Right. How this, and again, I love how you've been talking a lot about becoming an ally with the body. That just sounds so beautiful and perfect. And because we possess that, we do possess that wisdom. Life will give us the wisdom of what exercise will feel good for us.
Yes, you can be her awareness coach.
Right.
Okay, and which... That's where we're going, right? So you're her awareness coach when it comes to physical fitness, mental fitness, emotional fitness, spiritual fitness, right? That's the role that we begin to play as we step aside from ego and into center.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all good.
It's all good. Well, aren't we glad that you didn't listen to a voice saying, oh, no, you have way too much to do in the middle of the day. And you joined us and joined the queue, and here we are. Love it.
Yeah. It's wonderful. And I'm also excited. I have this, like, new dog in my life, and so I've decided the dog is going to be, like, sort of my new exercise companion. And so... And to, like, get that sort of joy of just moving your body. And it was so fun. We went out yesterday and frolicked and ran, and it was just so lovely.
Oh, wonderful. Good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Liesl.
Thank you so much. Gosho.
Bye-bye. Gosho.
Thanks, Liesl. What I was saying there, Sherry, was that place of safety, that we're promised safety in the mind. In conditioning, because that's how we survived before. But the downside of continuing to look for that safety in that place, is that it destroys our receptivity to trust in life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it
there is a way in which we doubt that the wisdom of intelligence, of conscious, compassionate awareness is something we can receive and act upon, because we're so conditioned to only listen to that other place. And like everything, especially in movement and fitness, it's a training, right? And when we're not very good at something yet is where we're most vulnerable to the voice telling us we should either quit or not try, right? But to get used to the discomfort of acquiring a skill, that's going to give us so much freedom to explore and learn new things.
Yes, and to do it from presence, because I can't remember now exactly how you just phrased that, but what we're really being trained in when it's you need to be in your head in order to be all right, the real message is you can't trust life.
Yes.
You can't trust what you are. You can't trust the intelligence that is expressing through you. You can't trust that. You need to look to something separate, different, other than that in order to be okay. And that's that is a truly fiendish message.
Yes,
dangerous.
And we were totally, and we're looking at it in the retreat, right? What that results in, that training to look to the conditioned sense of the familiar and the comfortable, stops us from being able to stay in presence when the I dissolves. And where just as when that notion of self or how I've done this or the orientation starts to dissipate, the discomfort of that we won't relax into if we're so trained to go to that safety place, because I can't be present with all of those uncomfortable sensations of not having the safety of a reference point that doesn't serve me.
Yeah, I just had an image of somebody who has an identity of being shy, and they realize that identity of being shy is stopping them from doing all these things that they want to do. And so as that identity falls away, then what the person is left with is, I don't know how to behave under these circumstances. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. And if we go with the discomfort of that, then we will go back to a shy identity and not get to participate in life, right? But if we're used to looking to what now, then we will be informed in the present what now, you know, what to say, what to do, how to be, how to feel, how to, it's all available to us now. But we have to get used to living now.
Right, and and what I'm present to is that I don't know what to say, and I don't know how to say it, and I'm feeling very uncomfortable. That's my experience of presence, and if I can say that, I'm not shy anymore.
Right. I can talk about that. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how that transformation happens.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Susan Arnold from Jacksonville, Florida.
Well, hello, Susan. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing pretty well, thanks. How are you?
Really well. I'm on retreat, so you know what a good time that is.
I have to admit to being jealous.
Well, next time you'll be with us, okay?
I sure hope so. So,
me too.
I listened to Open Air last night and found that very inspiring given my situation. I've gone through 3 rounds of chemotherapy, and each round I feel more fatigue and don't feel as well, although my nausea has gotten better. But I discovered I had gotten into a part of me that hated this, that didn't want to do it anymore, that didn't want to feel this way, And so I was trying to make it not so.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did, go ahead.
No, no, you finish. I thought you, go, no, you go
so,
ahead.
Well, what I did last night is I let that part, those parts of me talk. And then I made some reassurances of how much they're loved. And, well, you know, I'll be with them and get through this.
Mm-hmm. And Susan, did it feel like that those were authentic, legitimate folks that you were talking to? It wasn't a, didn't feel like a kind of an ego takeover, using this as an opportunity to make you feel worse. It felt like,
well,
you were talking to real people.
In a way, it felt like an ego takeover.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I was approaching it. The first two rounds, I mean, I did feel badly, but it was kind of like I weathered them, you know. I wasn't saying, I hate this, I don't want to feel this way. But this third time, it was, I hate this, I don't want to feel this way. And as a result, I was suffering more, I think.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And so I hope what you got to or get to is that place of, because you can sympathize with her, right?
I mean, absolutely.
Right? Who would want to go through this? Who in their right mind would ever want to go through such a thing? And so you can sympathize with her. You can legitimately feel sorry for her. I am so sorry this is happening to you. This is terrible. You're right. This is not fun. This is not a good time. I'm going to be here with you.
Right.
You don't have to be cheery. You don't have to be fun. You don't have to be upbeat. You just feel how you are. You want to just lie there and go, okay, I'll lie there with you. Right? I'll be with you. Whatever you need, I'll be with you. Yeah?
Yeah. And that's what I did a reassurance last night and one this morning, and that's where I was at least heading.
Yes.
Being with her and sorry that she had to go through that.
Yes. Because we've got three characters involved here, right? If we just kind of keep it simple, right? You've got three characters involved. There's the person who's going through the chemotherapy, right? And she's the one in the body. She's the one with cancer diagnosis. She's the one that this is happening to, right? And then here comes ego with, I don't want to do this. I don't like this. This is too hard. I don't feel the way. Okay, well, ego is not having the experience. She is.
Right.
And that puts you in a position where you get to say to her, I'm with you.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, talking with you now, I'm crying about it more than I have, you know, in a while.
Mm-hmm.
There's a deep, you know, just being sad. Upset about it.
Just sad. Yes. Yes.
About having to go through it. And
yes.
But crying is good. I mean, crying helps her to.
It's very good. She gets to feel however she feels.
Right.
She does. Not ego taking advantage of a situation to want everybody to feel sorry for it and leave her behind. Right? She is the star of this show. Okay? And she never wanted to be, but she is. So it's all her, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. anytime, okay? Anytime. Yeah.
Okay, well, have a wonderful retreat and go happy and so shall I.
There you go. We'll keep a spot for you right there in the hall, okay? You can All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
Gotcha.
Susan. Bye-bye. Gotcha.
Thanks, Susan. No, Sherry, that's such a fiendish and hateful process that would want us to be okay when we're going through a challenging circumstance and let us not be able to, and to define that as being identified. Right? And what you're pointing to is so important that, you know, pain and difficulty in life is inevitable. Suffering is the part that's optional. And so for conditioning to point to having a hard time as being the place where we have to transcend ego is one of those mutations of conditioning that is really hateful.
Yeah.
Because we don't get to move to that place of acknowledging the difficulty or the challenge. As you said, it is hard. I completely understand that. And because it's what's going on, right?
Yeah.
It's
what's real.
It's what's real. It's what is happening. Rather than that conditioning would like us to do is to be, to agree with its story. And the story here is, it's hard and painful, and you should have a better attitude to it. Right? And so we get bamboozled into listening to it and doing exactly what would not take care of us.
Yeah.
And that's the process of being controlled.
Yes. Yes. And just always looking back to Dana, you know, always looking to the mind for direction. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, how am I doing now? Okay, well, how is this? Well, how should I be? Is this okay? Am I doing all right now? Should I be doing something different? Should I? Whereas the person who's having the experience might just want to cry.
Yes. Yes. And that, I don't know, I think it's in one of our books where we talk about the mind as a negative function of life. And so when you look to the mind, it's always the reverse of what is so. So if we consult it, it's going to tell you to do exactly the opposite of what would be available if you consulted life.
Yeah.
All right. I thought we had time for one more caller, Sherry, but it looks like we're very close to the hour. So how about we look at our assignment?
All right. That sounds good.
What possibilities might be available if you dropped out of ego's either-or framing of the issue? RL, what you see.
Drop out of the dualistic mind into presence, what might be possible. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
All
Sounds
right.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Go happy.
Go happy.